Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word, and we carry on with the Scriptures, and we are in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and you know God is really working on the character. You know, one of the things that we must know about God is that God calls the things that are not as if they are. He calls Abraham, who is without child, and he calls him a father of many nations. He calls him, he blesses him, he gives him all the promises, and then he tells him, now walk blamelessly before me. Genesis 17, so he's told to walk blamelessly. So there is a call, there is a sanctification. There is being raised, buried with him in baptism, you know, being raised up with him. There is a sitting up with Christ in heavenly places. And then there is now the expectation that we live the life that conforms to the truth of the gospel. Now, one of the things that you will realize is that it actually is a process that God takes us through to make us more and more like Him. And this is where the teaching of the Word of God comes in, the correction of Scripture, the rebuke of brethren, you know, the correction, the journey that we go through, that if we continually submit to the Lord, if we continually submit to His Word, we continually listen to the voice of correction, the voice that calls us out of our own, you know, mistakes, out of our own pride, out of our own forgiveness, out of our own flesh. When we listen to that voice, then we are brought back into alignment with Christ. Because one of the things that Paul prays for the church, he says that, I pray that Christ be formed in you. Now, that is the biggest challenge of every Christian. Yes, you have believed in the Lord Jesus. Yes, you have received the promises. Yes, you have been elevated with Christ and you are seated with Him in heavenly places. But then the question is Christ formed in you? Have you submitted yourselves in every aspect of your life that Christ be formed? And that's why Paul says, my dear children, of whom I am in the pains of childbirth again. You know, pains of labor until Christ is formed. That means he can see it is a process. He knows it is a process. And that is why we keep saying that these are things that are improper for God's holy people. When we speak of impurity, when we speak of our tongues, you know, when we speak of anger, coarse joking, of sexual immorality, the things that we say, how we speak to one another, they are things that are improper for God's people. And actually God calls them idolatry. Why? Because they are things that you elevate above Christ. There are certain things that you say, this is me. This is how I was born. This is how I speak. I cannot change that. And yet you know clearly that this is not in alignment with the truth of the gospel. So there is a place where we are called now to live as children of the light. Why? Because our Father is the Father of lights. There is a dimension of man that is light, that is in the spirit, is represented as light. We are illuminated, and that's where the word comes. Illuminated comes from whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever is illuminated is light, and God calls us. Verse 14, this is why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, or Christ will give you light. So remember, the light comes from God. We, anthropos, it means alignment to God, looking up, facing up. And as men, we are supposed to be looking unto God, and it is God that shines His light on us. And so we receive that light, then we reflect that light to the world. Whatever you do, whatever you reflect is a reflection of the light you have received. You see, whoever speaks to you gives you a certain light. Whoever, you know, ministers to you ministers a certain light. And when light comes, then it is able to point out to you where it is you are going wrong. And one of the things that we must learn is that God has given us the journey of life, the journey of marriage, to perfect us for holiness, to perfect us for righteousness. The things that are there, it is a responsibility to show us, because no one will know you in depth more than you know that than your partner, than your marriage partner, or your child. You know, there are things that they will say, and it is a mirror. It's like a mirror. The same way God's word is a mirror. We too must also see our spouses as mirrors, and they point to us areas that are still also not in alignment with Christ. Why? Because God has given them to us as confidence, as a safe place where we can walk alongside, and we need to be in a safe place. But anyway, let's first start with verse 15, which we had not spoken about, and we'll see whether we can be able to get to marriage today. Part of it, verse 15, Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." King James, or New King James put it, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And now, one of the things that you must understand, the word there, time there, is kairos. That means it is the time of opportunity. Remember, we know there are two words there for time. There is kairos and there is chronos. Chronos is the sequential chronological order of time, where you count time in minutes, in seconds, in hours, in days, in weeks, in months, in years. So now that is chronos. Chronos is everyday time. But you see, in the spirit, there is what is called an opportune time. Like when there is a job advert, that is a kairos moment for that job to be advertised. Now, if you miss your application at that time, it doesn't matter how anointed you are. If you miss it at that point, then it is very unlikely, unless God intervenes, that your application will come through. Why? Because you missed that kairos moment. You missed that window of entrance that was responsible for your breakthrough, that time of opportunity. It's just like the farmer. If you miss the rains, unless you're able to either create artificial rain or you're able to do irrigation, then you miss an opportunity that allows you to get certain time. And you can think of the time of Gideon. The Bible tells us that Gideon was, that the Philistines were attacking the Israelites. They will wait for them to plant. They'll wait for them to for the plants to grow. But then when they were just about to harvest, then they will come, attack them, steal their harvest, burn it down. And that's why the people of Israel were greatly impoverished. You see, when the enemy targets men, he does not target you in your chronos time. He does not target you in the time where it is your everyday time, but he targets you in your kairos moments. It's just like in marriage. I mean, every couple knows that there is a time that is right for a baby to be born, and usually the window is like 2 days or 2 to 3 days. And now you see what the enemy does to ensure that you don't have a child at that point is, whenever it is that time, you find that there is a fight, there is a quarrel, and before you know it, you know, you miss that window of opportunity. So there is a kairos that every time that you're supposed to enter into your season, every time you're supposed to enter to receive the blessings of that time, then you miss it out. And you see, though, you miss more and more of your kairos moments, then you are delayed in life. Why? You can think of the Israelites. They were supposed to enter Canaan after 12 days. You know, the distance between Egypt and Israel could have been covered in 12 days. But you see, God gave them a kairos moment to enter. But then he wanted them to enter not just because he's told them, but also to enter with their faith, to receive that word and mix it with faith. So he gives them spies. He tells them, okay, go with the spies, go and see. And then when they come back with an evil report. 10 spies come back with an evil report. They say the land is full of giants. It devours its inhabitants. In fact, we saw the descendants of Anak. And he says that we are grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we became in our own. We are grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we became in their own eyes. That means to tell you that there was a kairos moment that they were to enter. Now, because of that murmuring, because of that rebellion, and because of that unbelief, what does God say? They shall not enter the promised land except for Jacob, and except for Joshua and Caleb. And so you see, another 40 years is wasted in the wilderness because the people could not redeem the time. So now God is telling us that when we walk in wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is right application of knowledge. Wisdom is Christ himself. The Spirit of God is a spirit of wisdom. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that speaks to us. He's the one that warns us. You know, there is a time for wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you start to fear God, then that is the beginning. Then you now start to know the wisdom of God. You start to understand the voice of God. You start to know how to make the most of every opportunity. There is a time to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The reality is we are in an evil world. We are in days that are evil. Why? Because there are evil days. In fact, there is an evil day. The Bible speaks that take your stand against the evil one, you know, against the day of evil, so that you can do everything to stand. There is a day of evil that comes. But then here we are seeing that not just a day, but even these days, the days are evil. Beyond that, we also know that there are evil men. There are people who have dedicated themselves to darkness, to occultic practices. For them, they have after no good. They don't want your growing up. They don't want anything of you to benefit. They want really you to go down. Now, those are evil men. They are also their evil forces of darkness. They are demons, they are spirits, they are works of the enemy. They are rulers, they are principalities. They are systems of the world that are geared to make us evil. You know, there is the flesh that desires that we miss our seasons. So anytime we live according to the flesh, anytime we walk according to the flesh, we then miss our seasons. We miss our kairos. And that's what the Bible says, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish or do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. So it is your responsibility to apply wisdom, to find out what is the will of God, to know what is it God wanting for me at this time. You see, the reason why people are frustrated is because they miss their seasons. They miss their times of visitation. Jesus cried out to Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, had you known your hour of visitation? You know, I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks," but they could not see who was walking before them. And that's why Jesus took fishermen. He took men who were not, you know, who were so held up in their traditions, who were held up in their religion. You know, men who are just focused on who they are, on what they have, on their traditions. And he took these fishermen who could not hold on to whatever they knew and say, "I will make something new of you." And he said, "I will make you fishers of men." And he cries out, "Oh, that these things are hidden from the wise, but are revealed to little children." There are things that God reveals to little children. That means that when you humble yourself, when you are as a little child, the Bible says, if you are as a little child, then you can enter the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these little children. That means that it gets to a place where you understand that this is not a human perception. This is not a human philosophy. It's just like marriage. Marriage is not a human philosophy. It is a God-ordained institution, and it has God-ordained principles. It has God-ordained pattern of living. It has God-ordained instructions. And if you don't submit yourself to the kingdom of God, to the pattern of God, to the wisdom of God as a child, then you miss your kairos moments. Then you miss your opportunities. Then you miss your wisdom. Then you miss your life. You miss what God has purposed for your life. And that's why the Bible says, understand, know what the will of God is. do not be foolish, do not be unwise, but be wise. It says, verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but rather be filled with the Spirit. You know, in the world, men use wine to forget or to get high. You know, basically to enter into a zone where they forget their problems, where they are, have a certain energy, where they speak in a certain way, where they are able to, you know, to overcome certain challenges. You can find that someone who has not spoken in public and is told is going to speak, what they will do, they will take some wine and or take some alcohol, and then they will get this courage to stand. And you can see they can say certain things that even them, if they were in their right mind, they will not have done it. But now you see, there is a way by which you can overcome the flesh. There is a way by which you can know the will of God. There is a way by which you can be filled with the Spirit of God. There is a way that in which God has prepared that each and every man can redeem their time, can know the will of God, can walk in wisdom. And he tells them, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or rather, which leads to, you know, dissipation. Do not be drunk in wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that you need to get to a point where you are filled. The same way that men fill themselves with alcohol, as a believer, you are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means there is a way that you get into prayer. There is a way that you stay in the Word. There is a way that you sing. You know, there is a way that you fast. These are like different ways by which you find that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And for people, it works. I mean, it's different for how God gets you to that place. You know, there is a place where you know now you are filled, now that you are ready. And one of the things that he says, be filled with the Spirit. And how can you be filled with the Spirit? He says, speaking to one another with psalms, with hymns, and with songs from the Spirit, and make music from your heart to the Lord, and making melody in your heart. You know, one of the things I discovered, I mean, even for me as I walk with God, that there are times that you start singing within you. You know, there's a song of the Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit sings inside us. Oh, you just start humming. And as you hum, then you start being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because there's a melody that you're making. And as you're making in your heart, you start to be filled with the Spirit. Think of the prophets. When Elisha said, get me a harpist. Then as the harpist starts to play, then the Spirit of God wells up within him, and then he prophesies. So there's a role for music. There's a way that music can get your spirit, can settle your spirit, can put your spirit at a place where you can relax, and then you can hear the voice of God, that you are filled with the Spirit of God. So music has its place, the environment, how you cushion your environment. Another place is meditation. When you are studying the Word of God, when you've silenced the voice of the enemy, when you start to speak those scriptures, when you start to see how you are being transformed with the glory of God, to the glory of God, into the very same image, and you start to think of it, then the Spirit of God in you wells up. And honestly, you will know. Anyone that walks with God, there is a certain feeling, a holy emotion. There's a certain sign that you know, now I am filled. Either it will be a shaking, either it will be a vibration in your heart, either it will be a sign that you'll be feeling a fullness of your heart, a peace of heart, or a breaking forth into song. But you know that now you are filled with the Spirit of God. And whenever you do ministry, any minister must know that you just don't go and stand before people before you are filled with the Spirit of God, before you are filled to fullness, before you have worshipped. For some, it is prayer. As you pray, then you start to feel the buildup of the Spirit. God is saying, that there is a way by which you can know the will of God. There is a way that which you can walk in righteousness. There is a way that which you can walk in the fullness of God. And you can be filled. You can be a body that is wholly filled and flooded with God in the fullness of God. You can be filled by faith. By walking in love, there are things that you do that the Holy Spirit inside of you rejoices. There are times God asks you to give something. There is a time that God asks you to forgive. There is a time that God asks you to sacrifice. There is a time that God asks you to repent, to humble yourself. And when you do it, the Holy Spirit within you rejoices. He rejoices, and you know He is happy. Why? Because you have submitted to Him. You have killed the flesh. You have died to the flesh. It is painful, yes, to die to the flesh, but God does not expect of us the easy things. There are things that are, you know, if it was easy, God would not have asked us to do it. If submission was easy, God would not have asked us to do it. If respect or dying, sacrificing one for, as Christ loved the church, if it was easy, God will not have asked us to do it. God never asked for us the easy things. But you see, He knows that in those wisdom, in that which is prescribed as His will, then that is where lies in the redeeming of our time. We can waste so many years of our lives in arguments, in things that have no value. And the enemy rejoices. Why? Because he knows they are wasting their time. And before they know it, they will die. And they will not have accomplished what God would have wanted them to do. Ha ha, he laughs. And he knows he has conquered. He has enjoyed it. He has done it on his part. But you see, when you learn to speak to one another with psalms, to sing hymns, songs from the Spirit, spiritual songs, making melody or making music in your heart, singing unto the Lord. And what does he say? Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is the secret. Thanksgiving is the heart of a blessed person, of a blessed man, is thanksgiving. I tell you, when you just learn to sit down and count your blessings, you can say, this parent is just always angry and bitter at me. But the question is there someone who doesn't even have a father? At least the father is there. He might be angry, but he's still there. There is a covering that he has. There are people who don't appreciate what God has done, what God has given them in their spouses, in their children, in their families. They're like, no, that's your job. You know, that's your right. That's what you're supposed to do. But you see, when you learn a life of thanksgiving, when you appreciate people, when you appreciate even your superiors, you know, the same way that people in the office would be like, oh, thank you, boss. You know, thank you this for this. There is a heart of thanksgiving that removes entitlement from us. When we learn to walk in thanksgiving, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are filled with the Spirit of God. You are filled with the glory of God, and you can walk in the fullness of God. We want to redeem the time. We want to make the most opportunity of everything that God has given us. God is calling us to walk according to His will. And how will we walk according to His will? Be filled with the Spirit of God. I tell you, anytime you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will know the voice of God. You will hear the voice of God. You will know what to do. You will walk in courage. You will overcome the flesh. You will overcome the dictates, the boiling points of the flesh. And when the flesh dies, then the Spirit is alive. You're filled with the Spirit. And there is a melody that you have. There is a song that you have. There is that inner man that is within you rejoicing with God. And then you can walk in the liberty. You can walk in the fullness. You can walk in the grace and power of God. Yeah, I pray that God will give us more wisdom. And tomorrow we'll carry on as God allows us. So I'll stop here. You're welcome as God leads you. Any feedback? Okay, if there's none, then we can pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, we honor your holy name. We thank you for your loving kindness that you've called us to walk in the light, to walk as children of the light. And that involves making the most of every opportunity to redeem the time, that we be filled with the Spirit of God, that we indeed we walk not according to the drunkenness of wine, but according to the being filled with the Spirit of God, that we are filled in every measure and by which we can be able to know the will of God. Continually, we call for an infilling of your Spirit to overcome the dictates of the flesh, to overcome the troubles that we see on the flesh, to soar up with wings as eagles, to soar up as men of purpose, as men that you have called us to fulfill your will, your plan, your purposes. You've called us to walk according to your principles, O God. We submit ourselves to you, O God. Show us mercy, O God. Forgive our failures. Let Christ be formed in our hearts as you wanted, O God. You want us to be like you, to be more and more like you, and less of our traditions, less and less of our own upbringing, less and less of what we have known, but more and more of you, O God. O God, may we not miss the times, O God. Forgive us where we, out of fear, out of a lack of faith, we have failed to enter into our Kairos moments, O God. I pray that indeed you help us to redeem them. May that which we have lost be brought back, O God. Houses that we have not built, indeed. Vineyards we have not planted, O God. Indeed, let those things that we need come forth quickly, O God. Because you're the one that redeems, you're the one that restores the years the locusts have eaten, the canker worms have eaten, the young locusts, the old locusts, oh God. The time that is gone, oh God, you are able to bring it to fullness again, oh God. I pray for speed, I pray for direction, I pray for healing, oh God. I pray for forgiveness, oh God. I pray that your grace to prevail in our hearts, oh God, in our lives, that indeed we walk in truth, and according to the truth of the gospel, O God. Indeed, give us forgiveness. Give us the love of God. Give us the hearts. Indeed, give us the peace of God. Give us a heart of thanksgiving, O God. Indeed, any that is unwell, O God, I thank you that you are the healer, that you are touching them this very moment to the praise and honor of your holy name. We thank you and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.